You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, the State Department of Natural Resources has taken criticism in recent years for cutbacks in research and education staff and for rolling back its public presence. We'll learn about retired conservationists who are looking to fill that void with their new group, Wisconsin's Green Fire.
First, in the past several weeks, President Trump has begun to call for an end to the legislative filibuster in the Senate. And this year, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell made the decision to use the so-called nuclear option and get rid of the filibuster for Supreme Court nominations.
Democrats did the same during President Obama's time in the White House to move forward federal judicial appointments. So far, the Senate doesn't seem to have an appetite to kill off the legislative filibuster. But as politics becomes more partisan, our guest sees the potential for a slippery slope.
Jennifer Steinhauer joins us now. She wrote about the issue for the New York Times, where she covers Congress and domestic policy. Jennifer, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you.
Jennifer, what's the philosophy behind the filibuster in the first place?
Well, if you look at the difference between the Senate and the House, the House is all about the majority. And the Senate, the minority, actually has quite a bit of power to hold up legislation in ways they can't do it in the House, and to block legislation. The idea is that it's, you know, it's referred to in law as a cooling saucer, where you can take some of the ideas that may emanate from the executive branch of the House and bring sort of the middle ground by having a pretty high vote threshold to pass. Now, the notion that every bill needs 60 votes to pass is not exactly true. You need 60 votes to get on the bill, and a lot of times historically, the Senate hasn't bothered with that. They've gone ahead and just unanimous consent moved on to things. That stopped with the partisan gridlock, where the 60 vote threshold is constantly used by the minority party to try and block things and enforce issues. So this was going on, as you alluded to earlier, when President Obama was in office and Republicans were blocking all of his nominees. Harry Reid, then the majority leader, moved to drop that 60-vote threshold for everything below the Supreme Court. And so what happened is, when Trump won, Republicans took over the Senate, they turned the tables, and they pushed through basically all of his nominees without that threshold. But it stuck there for a while until, of course, they came into the fight over Neil Gorsuch for the Supreme Court. Democrats made it clear they weren't going to let him through, and so now Majority Leader Mitch McConnell turned that into dropped the threshold there. And now President Trump, as you said at the top there, wants him to extend that to legislation. And that's something where Mitch McConnell has said, that's a bridge too far. We're not going to do that.
And this is something that the president began, it seems like, to call for around the time of the failure of the repealing the health care, repealing and reforming health care. But it is something that it's been something he's continued to say over the weeks, that he wants to end the legislative filibuster. In specific, what do you know about what the president is calling for there?
Well, in some ways, that was very strange that he did that, because the health care law, as well as the attempts to reform the tax code, which will be coming up when the Congress reconvenes next week, are being done through a process called reconciliation, which also does not require 60 votes. We're almost not dealing with anything with 60-vote threshold at this point. So it was a little unclear as to why he seized on that during that debate. That was not the reason it failed. They couldn't get enough Republicans to get on board, even with Mike Pence standing by to break a tie there, as you know, as Senator Susan Collins of Maine, Senator Lisa Murkowski of Arizona, and finally Senator John McCain of Arizona put their thumbs down on that. So that had nothing to do with 60 votes. It was quite confusing as to why he seized on that. But he has since decided that Democrats are blocking their agenda otherwise, and he wants, even though 60 votes have not been needed to do most of the stuff he wants, not to roll back regulations for the most part, not to get his appointees, not to get a Supreme Court nominee, and not to get health care tax reform. So it's a little unclear why he's obsessing over this, since it hasn't really stymied him that much. But I think moving forward, he wants to just make sure that Democrats can't block his legislative agenda, assuming, it's a big assumption, that he can get all Republicans on board with him. And that's not always going to be the case, as we've seen. Mitch McConnell understands that the majority today can be the minority tomorrow, and they don't want the tables turned where Democrats can do comprehensive prescriptive policy without 60 votes. So that's where they stand on that.
So looking at the president's call to end the legislative filibuster, as you said, Mitch McConnell said, no, that's too far. Senator John McCain has said, no, that's not. That's why we're the Senate and not the House. But is there any sort of appetite in the Senate for this?
I think there's very little. I'll tell you where there's appetite for it is in the House. They've really been pushing some very conservative Republicans in the House. Have been complaining about this and grousing about the Senate, which is also obviously part of Washington tradition. They would like to see it happen. There probably obviously would be some support, as there is for everything, even bills that only get two votes have two votes. I could see there with some of the stronger Trump supporters in the Senate, but nothing probably large enough to pass muster in the Senate, and I'm not even sure Mitch McConnell will even bring up such an effort, because not only does he not philosophically believe in it, not only does he think it's a dangerous precedent and something that was not good for his party to do, but he's not particularly supportive of the entire Trump agenda at this point. You know, Trump, for example, is looking at money for a wall at the border with Mexico. That doesn't have unanimous support with Republicans. He would like to see perhaps a dumping of the majority rules of the 60-vote threshold, perhaps at some point for getting that. That's not something I can see Mitch McConnell at this point anyway supporting.
Jennifer Steinhauer is with us right now, reporter from the New York Times, and she's talking with us about President Trump's repeated calls to end the legislative filibuster. And Jennifer, why do you think conditions have been so ripe to take an axe to the filibuster on both sides of the aisle in the last 10 years or so?
Well, the minority always can grouse about that from some positions of the more fringe elements because they, the majority rather, because they don't want the minority stopping their agenda, particularly when it's the president's agenda. But really, in terms of the Senate and the recent moves that were made, begun by Harry Reid, there was a great frustration that the president was not able to get the judicial nominees that they needed, and there was a sense that there was, court backlog, and this was having repercussions for the entire judiciary. And there is a general consensus, at least theoretically, with lawmakers, that the president should have the right to his cabinet, should have the right to his picks. The Supreme Court's a little different. That's farther, stronger scrutiny, but that the president should be yielded to. And obviously, we have a very different kind of president and a very different political climate at this point, and Democrats are not so eager to give him as much discretion, although, again, because of moves made by Harry Reid, they've been unable to stop a lot of it. So just as basically as you already know how partisan D.C. has become and how vitriolic and frankly divided in some ways the whole entire politics of our country have become, there's an increasing inability for both sides to come together and an increasing ability or desire to block the other side from being able to stymie the majority's agenda.
Jennifer, let's just imagine for a minute that unforeseen things happen and the Senate, for whatever reason, becomes amenable to ending the legislative filibuster. What happens then? What does Congress look like and how does it function?
Well, that would be really interesting. Basically, ostensibly what should happen when you have one-party rule in Washington from the White House and Congress is that the president would have a legislative agenda that would basically be rubber-stamped by his own party. But the funny thing about that is if you took this highly controversial and rather groundbreaking move with Republicans who in many ways are uneasy with their president at this point, I'm not even sure that it would necessarily be that effective. It would just depend on policy by policy. Now, if you fast forward and there was a change in leadership in the Senate, for example, if in the what it looks to be at this point, unlike the cases the Democrats retook the Senate, and if you then had a Democrat in the White House at some point, then you're looking at a whole different scenario, especially if you ever had Democratic rule in Washington again, if that ever happened. Then you'd be talking about a complete sea change where they'd be rolling back Republican policies and possibly instituting long-term left-wing policies that would be pretty hard to undo because, frankly, what Democrats tend to embrace are expansions of entitlements, which are really, really hard to unravel, as President Trump learned when his own party tried to repeal Obamacare. So it would be definitely very disruptive, but perhaps not in ways the White House would perceive.
Jennifer, thanks a lot for being here today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Jennifer Steinhauer is a reporter at the New York Times, where she covers politics and domestic policy, looking at President Trump's repeated calls to end the legislative filibuster.